Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If there's a question you have or a topic you'd like to discuss, give us a call right now. Open lines at 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, and guys, I know you have something on your hearts to share today, but I just have to start off the program today saying there are actually two big news events today. The first, of course, is the pending approval of the tax bill between the Senate and the House. The other is the release of Star Wars: The Last Jedi, which they are anticipating is going to gross, are you ready, over $1 billion. And can you imagine the ministry that could go forward if Basic Gospel had $1 billion? That's all I want to say.
Well, you're right. I mean, yeah. The popularity of that series, the Star Wars franchise, basically, yes. Is just unbelievable.
Astounding.
And folks dress up. I was watching the news this morning, and, you know, they were showing various places where people were just waiting in line to see and all dressed up. And, you know, they have camaraderie. They have fellowship, yeah. All around their love and passion for that particular movie. Mm-hmm. And it's just a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a movie.
No, it's not just a
movie. Well, I guess that's right.
Well, for Richard,
write to Richard at basicgospel.net. Richard at basicgospel.net. Yeah. If you want to complain about that. But my goodness, folks, we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if all of us could just find common ground in him,
yes.
What fellowship, what joy, what camaraderie that we could truly experience. I mean, it would transcend every other human connection that we could possibly have.
Yeah.
And it really gets down to this Christmas story. And this week we've been talking about depression. We've been talking about the holiday blues that so many people experience during this time of the year. How do you overcome it? We've given lots of scriptural references pointing people to a simple trust in Jesus Christ. And today we really want to get back to the Christmas story, but we want to make application to this depression, this blues feeling, this down feeling that we can have. And here's how we're going to do it. We're going to talk about this angel's announcement to Joseph, this interaction that the angel had with Joseph. He's found out that Mary is pregnant, and he knows it's not his child. And so he's trying to figure out, what am I supposed to do here? He's an honorable man. He's a man of integrity. He decides he's going to divorce her. He's going to kind of just fade away into the darkness, and so that she can maintain her status in the community. And so his heart was in the right place. And then an angel shows up, and he says, "Hey, you're going to stick with Mary, and you're going to raise this child. And here's why it's so important, because this child isn't an ordinary child. This child was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and he has an incredible role to play in the world. Without him, we're all doomed." And so in hearing that, Joseph says, "Hey, I'm in. I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord." And here's the information that he got. He said, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Well, that in and of itself is incredible news, that yes. Jesus is going to save us from our sins, deliver us. And that's what the word save means. It's a deliverance. He's going to deliver us from the power and the penalty of sin and death. And no one else could do that, only Jesus. And the name Jesus means Savior, means one who will save. So in his name alone is the picture of what he's going to accomplish for us. But then he goes on, "And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And you think, well, wait a minute. He said they were going to call his name Jesus. And now you're saying it's Emmanuel. But let's read on. And he says, which means God with us. So with Jesus, we have a Savior who is going to save us from our sins. But we also have God in human flesh who is with us. So he was with the people back in those days, and now through the person of the Holy Spirit, he is with us and in us today. So this is such good news. It's such powerful news. It's such life-changing news, because here's what it means. If you're a Christian, and this is what it means to be a Christian, it's any person that the Spirit of God dwells in. That's the definition of a Christian. He's confessed with his mouth that Jesus is Lord. He's believed in his heart that God has raised him from the dead. And with that, there was new birth, and Christ came to live inside of that person through the Holy Spirit. So Christ is in you right now. What does that mean? God is with you. So whatever you're going through, I mean, it may be just the worst circumstances that you could possibly imagine. And it's tough, it's bleak, it's dark, and yet there is this ray of hope. There is the truth that Christ is with you in the midst of that. You're not going through that by yourself. You are not facing that problem all alone. You have the God who spoke this world into existence living in you. So what does the Bible tell you to do in that moment? Trust him. That's it.
That's it.
Trust him. And in that trust is hope, is victory, is confidence, is assurance, is peace that passes all understanding. Christian, God is with you in the person of Christ Jesus through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Trust him today. Give thanks that he is with you. And I guarantee you it's going to change your perspective on your life right now.
Without question. And that's good news from Basic Gospel, everybody. Glad you're with us today. And all of the things that Bob has been talking about are addressed in this wonderful 2-CD series called The Breakout. So if you or someone close to you are experiencing maybe some negative issues that kind of have you down in the dumps, feeling blue, maybe kind of a gloomy day here and there, if it accompanies the holiday season, well, go online to basicgospel.net and click that prominent link right on the homepage. Or you can call 844-322-2742. Why? Because we have a free copy of The Breakout for you. Again, it's The Breakout. Your free copy awaits your visit to basicgospel.net or your phone call to 844-322-2742. Again, it's Basic Gospel. We'd love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. That's the number in the U.S. and in Canada. Give us a call. We'd like to hear from you. Guys, note from our good friend Tim, pastor in the Indianapolis area. He says, to all my friends at Basic Gospel, Merry Christmas. I just want to let you know of what a blessing your ministry is. As a pastor, the daily program and the resources you offer are so enriching. In particular, your series on the New Covenant Journey. In our midweek Bible class, we began our study about 3 weeks ago. Last week, I was prompted by the Holy Spirit to have communion at the end of the class. After learning what Jesus has done for us, it seemed more than appropriate to celebrate him by remembering what he accomplished at Calvary. I would urge any pastor who is listening to make sure you get the series, that of course the New Covenant Journey, and begin in January 2018 teaching your congregation the facts regarding the New Covenant. I can already tell by the reactions of our study group that there is liberty and peace coming into their lives. By the way, our class is growing, and I attribute that growth to the fact that people are enjoying the good news of Jesus Christ. Thank you, and God bless you and the Basic Gospel team. Great, great. That's such encouragement from another pastor, Tim, in Indianapolis.
Well, it really is, and it's encouraging because here's a pastor that has been given the charge to help direct people into the Word of God. A pastor has that wonderful opportunity to be a guardian of the souls that God has brought his way. And there's only one way to do that, and that's to connect them to the love of Jesus Christ, and that's through the New Covenant. So in the Bible, we see an Old Testament and a New Testament. and the Old Testament is much longer. It's the history of Israel. It goes all the way back to the creation of the world. It brings us up to 400 years before the birth of Christ Jesus. And we see an incredible, rich, vibrant history of a people that were connected to God. And within that history, we see this unfolding story of Jesus Christ. And right dab in the middle of it, God forged a covenant with that people group, with the people of Israel. It's called the Mosaic Covenant. Some refer to it as the law. That's the Ten Commandments. That's the sacrificial system. That's the worship system that God put in place and that the people of Israel agreed to. So that's what we know of as the Old Covenant. We find all the details of it in the Old Testament. Well, when Jesus came along, he fulfilled that Old Covenant. So everything that that covenant demanded, everything that covenant required, Jesus fulfilled. And in fulfilling it, he put an end to it. So that Old Covenant was time-stamped. It had a beginning at Mount Sinai after God had released the people from Egyptian control. And so that was the beginning. It had an end at Mount Calvary, at the cross, when Jesus said, "It is finished." Well, once the old ended, the new began. He ushered in a brand new covenant. And it's in this covenant that we live today. Now, the whole story of Jesus in the Old Testament, everything in the Old Testament was pointing forward to that moment. So the people of Israel were living in anticipation of the cross. Now, they didn't know that their Savior, their Messiah, was going to die at the hands of the Romans on a Roman cross. And when that happened, it wasn't how they pictured their Messiah coming into the world. So they stepped back from that. They rejected that. But they were actually living in anticipation of that moment, because it was at that moment that the shed blood of Jesus ratified the new covenant that their prophet Jeremiah had discussed, had said, there's a time coming, and they were looking forward to that time. And Jesus even said that to his disciples. When he raised his cup at the Last Supper, he said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. So he was saying to them, this long-awaited covenant is about to take place. And it did the very next day. And so as believers today, we live in this new covenant. And it's a new covenant of grace, of mercy, of forgiveness. In this new covenant, God remembers our sins no more. We get to know God personally, intimately. We're a part of the real people of God. And we have Christ, God's Spirit, living inside of us, writing his laws of faith, hope, and love in our hearts. So it's a covenant that is a covenant of life that really connects us to the very life of Christ that we can experience on a day-to-day basis by faith. So when people really get a hold of that, boy, just sparks fly, and you think, wow, I never knew it could be this good. I never knew that this gospel was as good as it really is. And so I am so thankful for pastors like Tim who are connecting people to this new covenant and equipping them to live life to the full in this new covenant. And boy, do I wish more and more Tims would rise up in this world today. Why? Because most people go to a church and they hear a mixture of the old with the new. And you can't mix the old with the new. If you do, you're going to lose the purpose of each. You're going to lose the power of each. The old had a purpose spiritually to show us our need for Christ. Once we know that need, we turn to Christ and receive him. Well, the old has done its job. It backs away and gives over to Jesus Christ himself, alive, living in us. That's a much better thing than laws written on stone. So, yeah. Tim, thanks for writing, and thanks for being a new covenant pastor and being so passionate that you want the folks that come to that church in Plainfield, Indiana, to know what this new covenant is all about personally and to be able to live it out in their day-to-day lives.
And not only that, we're being a friend.
Yes.
Basic Gospel, everybody, 844-322-2742. Open lines right now. We'd love to hear from you, 844-322-2742. I had a question from Ryan. He says, when Jesus says not to forgive seven times, but 70 times seven, is he speaking in hyperbole or saying that if you sin 491 times, you're toast? He says, I think that's meant to portray unlimited forgiveness, not distinctly 490 times. What's going on here, he asks.
Well, you know, he's talking about forgiving one another.
Yes.
And so Peter was like, do I forgive seven times?
Ooh,
and
the he's perfect like, number.
Yeah,
seven
that's
times.
Right. He's like, no, seven times 70. And it's not saying, hey, we're going to count this off. You know, those numbers mean something. Seven is the perfect number. It's a number that represents God. Seven times 70 has a sense of eternity.
Yes.
So this is what this is all about. You know, forgiveness is just a part of your life now. You've received the forgiveness of God. All of your sins have been taken away once and for all. And so you live in that forgiveness. You live in the forgiveness that is yours in Christ Jesus. And as you live in it, you pass it on. And that's what this passage is all about. So it's not to be taken literally in the sense that you're only going to forgive somebody 490 times, and then if they sin against you 491, then you break all relationships with them. That's not what it's all about at all. It's just saying that forgiveness should be a way of life for you.
Yeah.
And as often as somebody sins against you, forgive them.
Yeah. I love how Jesus very nicely says to Peter, you've asked the wrong question. And he does it.
Peter could do that.
Yeah. Not that we ever would.
No, of course not.
That's right. That's right. Well, we're going to go to Fort Worth, Texas, and talk with Kevin listening to us on The Word. Hi, Kevin.
How are you, sir?
Doing fantastic. Nice to hear from you today, my friend.
Yeah, looking forward to Christmas. Hey, listen, I have been I am a relatively mature individual. I've only been a Christian for the past 5 or 6 years, and the concept of predestination and free will has just got me wrapped around an axle. I'm not sure where to go with that. I was wondering if y'all could shed some light on that for me. Thank you.
Well, Kevin, I think we can, and hopefully this is going to be helpful to you. I want you to shift your thinking just a minute, because I know when you're raising the question of predestination, you're thinking in terms of individuals, that God goes down a road, so to speak, and he chooses this person and doesn't choose that person and chooses this one over here but not that one. And most of us think of predestination in terms of that, how God chooses individuals for salvation and then chooses some for damnation. That's not the way it's presented in the Word of God. When Paul writes about it in Ephesians chapter 1 through 3, and when he writes about it in Romans 9, 10, and 11, he is writing about it in terms of people groups. So back in the Old Testament, the Jews were the people of God. Israel was the nation of God. Those were his people, and Gentiles were outside of that. They were without hope, without all of the things that the Jewish people had. But God's intention, God's purpose, even before the world began, was to save the Gentile in exactly the same way that he saved the Jew. And that was what was predestined, that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, whether Jew or Gentile. So that's the context. So he's speaking about people groups. And this is all foretold in the Old Testament. Hosea, for example, one of the great minor prophets in the Old Testament. In that particular book, God is saying there are other people that I am going to connect with. Well, who was he referring to? He was referring to Gentiles, that the blessing that he gave to Abraham, that through his seed the whole world would be blessed, that many nations would be blessed, is finding its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. So, Kevin, when predestination is talked about in the New Testament, it's the fact that God predestined both Jew and Gentile to be saved in exactly the same way, by grace, through faith in Jesus. And understanding it that way brings incredible unity within the body. I don't know about you, Kevin, but a lot of the discussions I've had in the past about predestination ended up in fights, you know, just people getting heated, angered. They dig their spurs in as far as their position is concerned. And instead of having a unifying conversation, they walk away mad at each other, divided over this issue. Well, that's not of God. And if we read it in context and understand that God has predestined both Jew and Gentile to be saved in the same way, then that's a message that brings us together. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what Paul was talking about in Ephesians chapter 2, that he has taken people out of both Jew and Gentile and has merged them together, forming one new man in Christ called the body of Christ. So what is God predestined? That you, that Gentiles and Jews would be saved in exactly the same way, by grace through faith in Jesus. Does that make sense to you?
It does. It gives me a little bit more to think about, more to chew on, and I certainly appreciate that.
Well, you are welcome, Kevin. Like I said, when you go to Romans chapter 9, just read through 9, 10, and 11, just note the amount of times that Paul refers to the Jewish people and to Gentiles. Never does he refer to individuals in that particular chapter. The same is true in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. So if you will recognize that and I think reread it, I think it will become clear to you what's actually been predestined.
I will. I'll certainly get on that this evening, and I certainly appreciate it, guys. And I listen to you on the drive home every day. God bless and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you,
Christmas,
Kevin. Thanks for tuning in. We sure appreciate it, my friend.
Yes, we do. Yeah. Well, Bob and Richard, we're approaching year end, and I know that we have some needs as we go forward.
We do. We've had great momentum this year. Wonderful generosity has been shown to Basic Gospel this year, and we are so grateful for all of you who have given financially. We want to crush our year-end goals, and so as we started this month, we needed about $160,000 to meet our budget, and we still have about $125,000 to go. So we're asking you to be as generous as possible so we can meet our budget and be ready to meet the ministry opportunities that are going to come our way in 2018.
Yeah.
So if you've benefited from Basic Gospel, if the message has connected you to the love of Jesus Christ, we ask that you go to basicgospel.net and give generously here at the end of the year.
And you can do that, of course, at basicgospel.net. And when you do, we'll send you a copy of the breakout. And we would love for you to have that in case you or someone you know is going through the doldrums during this holiday season. The breakout will address those issues. But, of course, also you can make a donation to the ministry and help us as we approach the end of the year. Again, that's basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. By the way, the breakout is free to you or to someone that you love. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition, everybody. Now for Bob and Richard of the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. Have a great weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.